Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rider Nation, are you ready?
Guns across the middle for Picton. Touchdown, Riders! Masoli gunning over top, and it's picked by Blaise Brown. Five-man pressure quickly. Little hit screen to Schaefer Baker. Still alive, 15-10. Schaefer Baker is going to score!
It's good to be home. After being away from Mosaic Stadium for over a month, the Riders look to electrify the home crowd one more time during the regular season. This afternoon, it's another battle between the Edmonton Elks and your Saskatchewan Rough Riders on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Nobody covers your team like our team. Now, let's go live to the stadium with your voice of the Riders, Derek Taylor and Luke Mullender, as they get you ready for kickoff. This is Rider Nation Pregame on the Source 620 CKRM.
65 minutes to kickoff on a brisk November early afternoon game. This is fantastic. Mosaic Stadium filling up as the Riders and Elks will kick off a little after 3 o'clock. I'm Derek Taylor in the broadcast booth, brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers. Best in the bidding business, McDougalAuction.com. Everything lying there for the Riders, a tie or a win, and they clinch the West semifinal at home against the Calgary Stampeders. And a man who will almost certainly be at that game is Glenn Suter with us. How are you, sir? You sprinted in the door. You are the busiest man in football right now, coming in from what you did, BC game last night.
Yeah, zero complaints, because I'm just so happy to have football back, and that we're at that time of year where, you know, it's really where the rubber meets the road now, and you've got to be at your best. You've got to be building towards that playoff game. But yeah, thank goodness, and thank you to Air Canada for being on time, because if they weren't on time today, Dustin would have been doing both jobs over there, or maybe you would have jumped on.
Mullender would have just leaned into your booth.
There you go.
I tell you, Dustin, that's the way that goes.
Yeah, plug it into both mics, yeah.
It's good when they seat you in 1A, though. That's the kind of attention I hope to one day get. What does this mean for the Riders players today? They often talk about, I don't look at the standings, la, la, la. They very well know they have a chance to clinch a home playoff spot. What does it mean to them, do you believe?
Yeah, I mean, it is important. It's important because they have their own locker room in the playoff game. They are able to, you know, build on the momentum of win and a win and a win, and feel like the process is right and correct. Feel like it. I've said it many times, but it validates. The winning validates your work ethic and your work progression, how you continue to do things. Because when you lose, like BC, and listening to Michael Riley after the game last night, said the same thing. He said, you know, we are a play away. I know we're a play away, but until we make those plays and learn how to do that, we are going to continually second guess if we're doing enough work. Are we doing the right work? Do we need more film? Do we need more practice time? What is it that we're not doing? And that self-doubt is tough to battle in key moments in games. But when you're on that roll, whether it's a big win or just a win by 2 points or 1 point, you are validating it every turn. So you're saying, yeah, we are doing the right things. We just have to stay the course, believe, and then move into that game with our home crowd behind us, in our own locker room, sleeping in our own beds the night before, doing our own routine. Football is a routine-driven deal.
Yeah.
And if you can continue to keep that same consistent routine, you just feel better on game day.
Yeah, and hopefully this final home game for them in the regular season, they feel pretty good, because the road game in Edmonton against a two-win team, they won by 2 points, Suits. So as you look back at that game and reflect on it and project it forward to today, were the Elks tough in that fourth quarter, or did the Riders falter over the span of the 60 minutes? What's your takeaway from last week's game?
Yeah, I think there were a couple of sort of mental lapses, I'll put it that way. Like, You know, to have Vandervoort get in behind coverage, that was clearly a mental lapse by some very good DBs that just fell asleep in the moment. And, you know, a couple of big plays are made. I don't want to take anything away from Edmonton, because it would have been easy for them to just fold and say, you know, we're behind by two scores, this game is over.
Oh, we folded them up here. We said, how are they possibly going to come back from 16 down? Well, they almost did, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to give them credit for staying and fighting and keeping that fight in the dog in the fourth quarter and making a little push. You know, there's experience to be gained here for Saskatchewan in that these close games, you get in the playoffs, and those close games, you know how to do it. You know how to finish them. You know you can finish them.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, I've often told this story, DT, that when we were in, I believe it was 88, it might have even been 87, when Nick Hebler joined our locker room. He was a BC Lion, a former champion, and we hadn't won a championship and been on that team through some real tough times. But we were building, and we knew we had good players. And Nick Hebler arrived, and it wasn't like he ever just exploded on the stat sheet. He didn't have a lot of stats. He wasn't really contributing a ton on the field. But his belief and his stepping into the locker room and looking around at our guys and saying, guys, we have way more talent than our championship team in BC here. And then he said, you know what you're doing? The work ethic and the work that you're doing and how you're doing it, this is how you become a champion. And just to hear it from a guy who's been there, boy, it made a big difference to us. It really did. It did to me anyway. I think It did to a lot of other players. I don't want to speak for them, but I really did. I really do. So, yeah, we'll you know, this is important. They're 8-4. That's what I think needs to be the focus. Continuing to find ways to win, even if it's gritty wins. Rather be gritty than pretty sometimes.
But last week, you and I and Luke had brought this up too, wanted them to take a team and put them down on the ground and step on them and start piling furniture on top of them and just yeah. Wanted to leave a two-win team in the dust, and they were unable to do that. Do you take anything away from that? I mean, they have another opportunity to do that today. I don't know that it didn't happen that way. Does that give you any pause?
No, I'm not surprised it didn't happen. You know, I mentioned that before the game last week. I said, you know, this would be an opportunity. Get them down, because when you're against a team that has struggled, like Edmonton has struggled, like BC has struggled, you're looking for that moment where they start to drop their heads. You know, it could be that first touchdown, or you get a two-score lead, and all of a sudden you see their pace drop, their heads drop, they start looking at the ground, they start, you know, looking like they're tired, you know, sloppy tackling starts happening, and that's when you can, sort of like a shark smelling the blood in the water, that's when you really want to pounce and then just push it and blow a team out.
Yeah.
And walking off the field at that point, you would have a higher level of confidence. But again, like, focus on what happened. They won. They're 8-4, controlling the destiny for a home playoff game, and have the same opponent here again, and should be ready for a dogfight. However, if they see I don't want to say give up, because you're not giving up, but if they see the drop on a team that's going, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
We're not gonna get back in this one. And they see that, go. Hit them then.
Go get them again, yeah.
Another deep ball.
Don't let Danny Vandervoort slide in behind.
Don't let him.
Yeah.
Turn it up and even more. It's kind of like when you see that boxer, like he's starting to get weak, and that guy just starts wailing on him.
Yeah.
Because now's the time to go for it, right? And so we'll see. But again, 8-4, best start for any coach in the first 30 games, Craig Dickinson.
Fastest quarterback to 20 wins for the Riders. Yep.
Cody Fajardo. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Trying to think of how to put the Fajardo hit a couple of deep balls last week.
Yeah.
That's been, you well know, that's been the topic of conversation for the first 14 weeks. He hit a couple. He got Duke on one. He then got Braden Lenius on a touchdown. We're still talking about that. It happened, and we're still talking about it because it's still, Cody's still the lowest rated passer on deep balls this season. How much do you want to see them force that? How much does the coach want to force that, knowing the dividends that a 75-yard touchdown could pay?
Yeah, I think you've got to go and work it, and you've got to throw the ball even if you see decent coverage. If it's a Shaq Evans go route and you see decent coverage, let it go anyway.
Yeah.
And make sure it's that outside shoulder so that Shaq gets it or nobody gets it. But you still push the ball because that plants a seed in the defensive back's mind that they've got to back up a little bit. Matt Dunnigan, before every game that I played him, we'd meet at center field just to say hi. Great mutual respect as opponents, but I'd always want to come over and say hi and see if I could get any little bit of tidbit information out of him. So we just chat about our families quickly, and then I'll say, so, you know, what do you guys got? He goes, you never go wrong when you go long. And he was...
You can hear Dunnigan's voice, yeah.
With the real southern drawl. And he was trying to plant a seed in my head,
yep,
saying, you better back up because I'm going deep. And... you know what? I think it was working at times because I'd start the game and I'd look at the film after the game and I go, I am too deep.
He's cutting us up underneath.
He's running those dig routes at about 15 yards and I'm going, what the heck? But
fantastic.
Yeah. So I think, to answer your question, I think you push the ball. Cody, it's got to be part of the offense, but don't force it in there. Like you don't have to try it,
It was first play of the game last week,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. You don't have to try and force it in there. Just read the defense, see what they're doing, get the run game going again, let those old linemen get warmed up and just start to lather up a little bit and push.
Yeah.
You know, and then hit it when you got the opportunities.
I love it. Suits has, of course, the TV call with Dustin Nielsen. He'll be back with us on the Sports Cage Monday, Thursday. So much Sports Cage. So much Rider Talk. Suits, thank you, brother.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for racing in. Glenn Suter with us in the Rider Nation pregame show. Access Communications, Sask Milk, The Wireless Age, your Sasktel authorized dealer, McDougal Auctioneers, and Salford Group. Thank you to all those great folks for helping us bring you this game. As we mentioned, Cody Fajardo, the fastest Rider quarterback to help his team to 20 wins. We'll talk about that next when Mitchell Blair slides in. For Young's Equipment, the cooperator, see Aaron Colavelle at Aaron & Associates Insurance in Regina. Advantage Crop Protection and Wood River Controls. 54 minutes to kickoff. It's the Riders looking to clinch a home playoff berth on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Your voice of the Riders, Derek Taylor, is breaking down today's matchups with players, coaches, and all the in-depth stats. It's the access and details you'll only find with Rider Nation Pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
52 minutes to kick off at Mosaic Stadium. The Riders and Elks. The Riders outdoing their pregame stretch. Keelan of France, he is very twisty from the torso. Look at him go. Got a carry last week and making some impact on the offense as the Riders got the win. And for Cody Fajardo, it was the Riders' 20th win with him at the starting quarterback. That's faster than the Riders got 20 wins with Ron Lancaster, Darian Durant, Kent Austin, and literally everyone else.
It's a true blessing, and it goes to show how talented the teams that I've been on. We find ways to win games even when I'm not playing my best football, but to be mentioned in the same conversation as those Rider legends is honestly a blessing, and it makes me feel good, like I'm doing something right, which is always awesome, but there's a lot more work for me to do. I believe that I can play a lot better for this team, but at the end of the day, like I tell you guys, it's all about wins and losses, and when people look back on a season, they don't really go into depth about points scored per game or how many yards they had. It's really how many wins, how many losses they had. But I've been really blessed with the talented team that I've had around me in these last 2 years as the starting quarterback. But it feels really good to be mentioned in the same conversation as those legends.
And Mitchell Blair, I think Cody encapsulates it very, very well. It's hard to deny Cody has played pretty well for a guy we knew nothing about. He came into a very talented team, and he didn't make it all happen. He's not necessarily the straw. Well, he may be the straw that stirs the drink. He didn't put it on his shoulders and ride it. He just, you know what? We're good, and we're going to be good, and congratulations to him for hitting that mark.
He was the guy that came in at the right time. Would we be sitting here, and again, we always hearken back to how the careers of guys have changed. Would Zach Collaros have been in that situation had he not been injured in that first game in 2019?
Probably, right?
And then, of course, you can sit there and go, what if, what if, what if? But Cody Fajardo came in to what was a talented team in 19. He showed us in that second game against Ottawa that he perhaps had what it took to be the starting quarterback. We know then what happened in 19. Did he overachieve? I don't know.
West
if
MLP.
I don't know if you can say that or not, because some people have asked, well, Cody just isn't doing in 21 what he did in 19. That's a fair statement to make. So the question is asked, and I've sort of said to people, I think Cody Fajardo's not as good as what he was in 19, but I think he's a lot better than what he is this year. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the yards are, what the touchdowns are, what the interceptions are. It's what you do at the end of the game. And Cody Fajardo, more times than not, has led his team off the field with a W. And in 19, I forget how many times the Riders won the game at the last play.
Minimum three.
I remember the game against Winnipeg where they drove down the field. There was the game against Hamilton. We'll never know what would have happened in the Western Final had we not had the doink. We've had a couple of times this year where the Riders, the game in BC. Cody Fajardo knows how to win a football game. And he is showing that. And Craig Dickinson said earlier this week, too, it doesn't matter to me what the numbers are. The thing that matters, the stat that matters, is wins or losses.
Yeah.
And Cody has put up the W's.
I got that when they said it, and we're in a Zoom call with all the other media, right? You don't want to push back too hard. You're like, well, the interceptions matter when they're in the middle of the game against Winnipeg and they roll to a 3-touchdown win, right? They're not totally irrelevant, but the greater point of
right. It's
about wins and losses at Fajardo's level is absolutely understood. And like you said, 8-4 this year in a year with so many injuries is, to me, a remarkable happening.
Right, and when do those interceptions come? You said against Winnipeg, not at a good time. Last week against the Elks, throws an interception on the first play of the game when... Yes, it matters, but at the end of 60 minutes, it didn't matter.
Plenty of time to make up for it. Yeah, absolutely. So that said, and we're going to continue this conversation about Cody Fajardo in the next block. There was a change in tone and in things said in media availabilities about Fajardo this week. One was from Jason Moss, and then one was from Fajardo himself. We'll play those clips for you, and we'll talk about it. It's all around this Riders offense and their troubles with the deep ball, and they hit a couple last week, but trouble showed up again last week. More Cody Fajardo conversation as we approach this important game for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, for our friends at Claws of America, your Saskatchewan Party Caucus. 47 minutes to kickoff with the Riders and Elks right here on the Cooperative's Roughrider Radio Network.
Saskatchewan's number one sports radio talk show is The Sports Cage. Weekdays from 4 till 6:30 on The Source, 620 CKRM. Time for One Big Number.
One big number for this game is 11. After hitting a couple last week, Cody Fajardo now has 11 completions on deep balls. That's versus 9 interceptions. The touchdown to Braden Lennius against Edmonton helps, but Fajardo's passer rating on passes 20 yards plus downfield remains the lowest in the league, and it's led to some interesting talk from the Riders as they met the media this week. We'll discuss that with Mitchell Blair in a moment. One big number brought to you by Prairie Gun Traders in Avonlea. For all your hunting and shooting needs, visit prairieguntraders.ca. 44 minutes to kick off with the Riders and Elks. Derek Taylor, Mitchell Blair in the booth, brought to you by McDougall Auctions. And conversation this week about Cody Fajardo. It was the first time I feel like I've heard some doubts creeping in. One was something Jason Moss said early in the week. One was something Cody Fajardo said yesterday. This is Cody Fajardo about his working with Jason Moss.
Coach Moss will definitely be the first one, if I make a mistake, to get after me a little bit. And that's what you want. I listened to Peyton Manning talk about that for a long time, about how he wants to be coached and not just, oh, you're Peyton Manning, so you can do this, you can do that. He wants to be coached and coached hard. And so do I, because I want what's best for the team. I want what's best for myself. And when I do something great, Coach Moss is the first one to tell me that's incredible or that's amazing. If I do something bad, he'll be the first one to say, you know what, you disappointed me here. I wish you would have read it like this. And he coaches me on it. He just doesn't yell at me or, you know, make me feel bad. He finds a way to coach me on it. And I can think back to the Edmonton game. I forced a ball to Shaq Evans on the right sideline. I threw it out of bounds. and I didn't progress on. It was soft zone, and I just kind of forced one down the field. We came to the sideline. He said, "You're a lot better than this, Cody, and you've been in this league too long to make this mistake." And it kind of lit a fire under me, and it helped me continue to play better throughout the rest of the game.
"You're a lot better than this, Cody. You've been in this league too long to make this mistake." Those were the words from Cody Fajardo late in the week. This was Jason Moss on Tuesday talking about Cody's deep ball in that Edmonton game.
Yeah, I mean, if that game in particular was a kind of more so what I feel like was on him, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I thought two of the balls were inside, and we talked about it after he made those throws and what we needed to work on this week, about throwing the ball more as a fade rather than an up the field throw. And anytime a quarterback misses inside on a deep ball, that's on them. I mean, they know it. Every quarterback will tell you a miss inside on a deep ball is not good. And usually it tends to be bad results. And the first ball was picked. The second ball was knocked down. Had he thrown some better balls there, we have a chance. And so the other throw to Duke is what you'd expect. You know, you want a ball like that to Duke that he can go up and make a play on. But I think overall, I mean, throughout the whole entire year, has he missed some? Sure. And usually when Cody misses, it's more further, it's more, you know, outright miss, which doesn't hurt anybody. It kind of sucks for all of us when it's open and he misses one, but that's going to happen. The ones that we don't want and the ones that we want to be better at in our room as a quarterback is not to miss inside. Don't miss short. Don't miss inside.
It was Mitchell when Jason Moss said, you heard him hesitate, and then he said, "It's on him." And to hear Cody describe it that way, I thought, that's the first time I've heard conversation that doesn't lean toward Cody as the savior of this team. It was an interesting change in tone
mind. It was. That's the first time I've heard those comments.
Mm-hmm.
And I need a little bit more time to digest that, to tell you the truth, because... Well, there's, you know, and Jason Moss, who obviously I think everyone knows his resume in this league. He's a fiery individual.
He played quarterback for a long time.
He played quarterback in this league, so he knows. But, man, did he throw Cody under the bus there?
He said those couple throws, they were on him. And they were. They absolutely were.
And Cody,
it's just strange to hear him say that.
And Cody admits to that.
Absolutely does. Takes full blame for it.
That's Cody's nature. That's his demeanor. And I wonder, and Cody knows after what happened after the Calgary loss when he vented the reaction there. I just wonder if Cody swallowed and just sort of took that as it is without sort of responding maybe the way he would like to.
He says, you heard Cody say there, he likes to be coached hard, and it sounds like some of what he's getting when he echoes what Moss said of,
wow,
Cody, you're a lot better than this. You've been in this league too long to make a mistake. You know that Jason Moss is giving Cody what he wants in that respect. What do you make of all that? What do you make of Cody Fajardo's performance this season? What Jason Moss's performance? Do hit me up on Twitter at DTONSC. We're taking your tweets all throughout this game, and we will be watching Cody Fajardo as the Riders attempt to clinch a home playoff berth. They've got a couple of opportunities to do it. The first one in a little over 30 minutes from now. We're 39 minutes away from kickoff. Riders and Elks for Degelman Industries, Nutrient Ag Solutions, and Bronc Beer, now available in Saskatchewan. More from Mosaic Stadium coming.
The Riders play here. Saskatchewan Sports Radio, The Source, 620 CKRM.
Three p.m. We are 36 minutes from kickoff with the Riders and Elks right here on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Thank you so much for being with us. Mitchell Blair doing our sideline reports today. They're all brought to you by Ritchie Brothers. They love CFL football and want everyone to enjoy the game. Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers. Download the RBA app or visit rbauction.com.
Do I need a Fitbit today? Sidelines, halftime, this?
I can lend you mine.
All right. All right.
Strap it on.
Fat boy's getting a workout today.
In other CFL action, Montreal 25, the dramatically reduced Winnipeg Blue Bombers squad, 14 with 4 minutes to go.
And just how dramatically reduced are they, DT?
Let's see. Their quarterback is out. Their star left tackle is out. Their right guard is out. Three of their back six are out. The defensive player of the year, Jackson Jeffcoat, is out. Their stud defensive tackle is out as well.
And Andrew Harris is out as well.
Andrew Harris continues to be out. Yes. But they specifically rested eight players for this game because they don't care what the results are. They're going to lose their second game of the season. And Montreal will pull even with Hamilton for who will get to host the East semifinal between those two teams.
I have told you right from the start of the season, and granted they're doing it without Vernon Adams Jr., but I told you at the start of the season I think the Montreal Alouettes could be the best team in the East.
You don't feel like you should be walking that back now? Because, come on. They're about to go win over 500.
It certainly isn't Hamilton after what I saw last night.
Oh, my goodness. Was that the shock? I could not believe Hamilton looked so bad looking so good for three straight weeks.
I know you and I talked about it yesterday, just in the building yesterday, and I wasn't touching that game. I didn't know who was going to win that game, but I certainly didn't think Toronto was going to lay one on Hamilton the way they did.
That was a real beatdown. And Hamilton did all that talk of, it's a home game for us in Toronto. Come on down and watch us get stomped into the dirt. What's your hope for this game? We got about 2 minutes here. What's your hope for this game? Because I assume it's not 19-17 Riders win.
Well,
wins are great.
At the end of the day, you want this team to win, whether it be by 1 point or 30 points, and clinch that Western semifinal. I think I speak for a majority of Rider Nation when we say we are hoping this is the game where they get their offense on track. I said last week in when they went to Edmonton, I thought that was going to be the week they were going to blow that team out.
Yeah.
And it went right down to the end again. I'd like to see the Riders get more than 20 points today. I think they can. I'd also like to be sitting here with 5 minutes to go going, this game's over.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can say that. And when I see that the Riders are favored by 11.5 points, sorry, like the investment opportunity today, it's all over the Edmonton Elks to cover, because I just don't see the Riders. And I hope I'm wrong. But I just don't see the Riders getting more than 21 today. And I'd like to say I'm wrong with that. But there's nothing that shows me that they're ready to break out and score 30, 40 points on someone.
The playoffs are 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from tomorrow, the playoff game here against the Stampeders. That's how it's going to happen. Pardon me. Just building toward that. And how can you be at your best when Calgary comes here three Sundays from now?
And here's the question I have. If the Riders win today and they clinch, next week means nothing.
Yep.
So would you see Isaac Harker start? And if you do, how much does that set you back, knowing that your offense still isn't where you want it to be?
That will be the thing that Jason Moss and Coach Dickinson have to try to decide. Mitchell, thank you. We can't wait to hear from you on the sidelines.
All right.
Mitchell Blair with us in the pregame show for Bear Crop Science, Science for a Better Life, SaskTel, AgCo, the Rough Rider Children's Hospital Foundation's Lottery, and Spreads.ca. 32 minutes from kickoff, we'll have the injury report, the weather report, Luke's three keys to the game. We'll hear from Coach Craig Dickinson and Cody Fajardo. Still to come, the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network.
The anticipation is building. The air is electric. The color is green. This is Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. We're now just 30 minutes away from kickoff. Stay tuned. We'll have more all-access interviews from the Riders and get Luke Mullender's three keys to the game. It's all part of the CFL's most comprehensive game day coverage. Rider Nation pregame, only on Rider Radio, the source, 620 CKRM.
Riders and Elks, second of their back-to-back, and another chance for the Riders to clinch a home playoff spot. With a win today, they will host the West semifinal against the Calgary Stampeders 2 weeks from now. The Elks proved tough last week, riding a little comeback to a 19-17 final score. What do the Riders have in store for this? More with a deep ball, more from William Powell, more from the defense. We cannot wait to see what's going to happen here this afternoon. Let's check in the injury report. Still all the players on the six-game injured list. However, coming off the one-game injured list after a stint on the six-game is a Rider fan favorite, Garrett Marino, back in the lineup tonight. Luke Moe and I will certainly talk about that. Gary Johnson Jr. onto the one game. Paxton Lynch the one game as well. We'll hear from Coach Dickinson and Cody Fajardo about playing in this brisk weather, and we'll get Luke Moe's three keys to the game coming up. We're 28 minutes away from kickoff for Seedmaster, Battery Depot by CAA, and Special Blend by Weiser's. Luke Moe sliding in next on the Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Rider Pride worldwide. Listen to Rider Radio around the globe with the official CKRM app. It's a free download for your smartphone at 620ckrm.com.
26 minutes to kick off. It's the Riders and Elks on a brisk day here in Regina. You just heard the pregame injury report. The last segment is for our friends at the Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association. Their members pay $50 for most construction safety training courses. As we mentioned, the weather has turned a bit since the last time the Riders played at home. We'll discuss that with Cody Fajardo and Coach Craig Dickinson next. But we mentioned the opportunity to clinch the home playoff berth with this game. And next week, the week in Hamilton would mean absolutely nothing to the Riders. We asked Coach Dickinson, in a perfect world, would you rather have the option to rest players, or would you actually like to have something to play for next week?
The nice thing is you can rest some guys that got some injuries, you know, or that are playing through some pain, some bumps and bruises. And the other thing that I like about it, Derek, again, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but the other thing about doing that is it gives you a chance to play some young players that you think maybe have really bright futures and you really want to see them play. So it's a win-win for coaches when you can play some new guys and rest some of your vets.
Luke Mullender in with us now. Luke, from your playing career and your analysis career post, would you rather they have something to play for next week to keep sharp or have a chance to rest and get things together for Calgary?
Well, I mean, aspects of this football club have been like a dull blade, so I would like to use the next game to get sharp if I'm on offense. I think that if anybody's getting a rest here, it's all on the defensive side of the football. You got guys who are banged up in that secondary or playing through pain. You've got A.C. Leonard and Woodard and Micah that have been toughing it out. But, I mean, if all things are being considered here, I'd love to see this offense continue to develop. I think that we've heard excuse after excuse starting back in Edmonton last week as to, oh, well, you know, it's just we're slowly coming together. You know, it's going to take some time. Well, it's the end of the year. Taking some time's over.
Time for
that is done. So unless you see an absolute explosion offensively today here for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, if I'm the coaching staff, and I'm not, then my offense is playing next game. We're playing at least a half, right? I mean, it was good of Coach Dickinson to say, well, you know, there's some young guys that you might want to get a look at. But, hey, trust me, there's not 50, 60 of those guys hanging around the locker room right now, right? You might be talking about two or three guys.
Yeah.
So, again, I'd really love this team to take a cohesive approach into Hamilton. And if anybody's getting any rest, it's this defensive side of the ball, because that's the side that's going to carry this team throughout the playoffs if they get to the Grey Cup.
You mentioned the offense, and the offense wanted to get right. What do you want to see from them today against – this is the same Elks team. They're on the same two wins as they were last week.
Yeah, well,
what do you want to see?
Consistency is a big part, right? I think that I'd love to see them start to execute at a little bit of a higher level. Again, we've talked plenty about it. And here's the thing. When we talk about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders offense, it's not as if this offense has just been on a tear over the last few years, right? Like, this year wasn't some big drop in production, right? The Riders offense over the last two, 3 years hasn't been at the top of the league, right? So we got to keep it in perspective. But I think that we're starting to really get the feeling that this offense in particular, right, really needs to help out this team when you look at the other players in the league and when you look at the teams that they're going to see in the playoffs,
yeah.
you're going to need some sort of offensive production other than Brett Lowther's kicking, right? Because Brett Lowther's been on a tear. He's been one of their best players. But again, we talk all the time, you've got to get the ball across the goal line in the playoffs. So that's what I'd like to see today. I'd like to see them work on some consistency. I'd like to see them start executing at a higher level. And I'd like to see the defense continue to climb. And right now, I think the defense has a lot to play for.
We've seen it. Oh, we've seen it a lot from the Riders. BC showed it last night in the game with Calgary. You need way too many threes to keep up with sevens. It's something that's foiled the Riders this season and something they have a chance to start to get right coming now. We're a little over 20 minutes away from kickoff for SaskTel, Nick Service, Farmer's Edge, and EasyBidsFarmAuctions.com. We've got the windows open now. A chill blowing through the booth. We'll talk to Cody Fajardo and Craig Dickinson about, does the cold weather change anything for you? That's coming up next on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Rider Radio lives at 620 CKRM on Facebook, on Twitter, and in the sports cage at 620CKRM.com.
19 minutes to kick off Riders and Elks on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Brisk now that we have the windows open. And for the Riders, they've had some pretty good weather. And honestly, it's been a while since they've had a home game. So the weather has turned since then. We'll hear from Craig Dickinson, but first, Cody Fajardo on, will this weather change anything for you?
For me, I don't wear sleeves because the soft, like nylon or the cotton, usually leads to more fumbles. And you see it year after year after year when guys put sleeves on it, it leads to more fumbles. So I think that's the biggest thing, is trying to keep your body warm, but not jeopardize turning the football over. And then as a quarterback, for me, most importantly, mentally, I'll never let myself feel like my right hand's getting cold. I'll feel I'm cold all over my entire body, but I'll never say my right hand's cold, because as soon as you lose that, I think you lose the grip of the ball and you don't throw it as accurately, or you don't throw it as confidently.
Fajardo, mind over matter today. How about Coach Craig Dickinson and what he looks for in the cold weather?
I do think it takes some of the joy out of the game for some guys. For some guys, it maybe adds a little bit. You know, this is the way it's going to be from here on out. So I think it's important you practice in it, Britton, and I think it's important you play well in it. And like I said earlier, I think it's going to show who really loves football and who really enjoys competing regardless of weather. And I think if you see a team with everybody over by the heaters, you're going to know that maybe weather's affecting you a little more than you'd hope. So hopefully our guys respond well. We've had a good week of practice, and I do think it's a good test run in terms of seeing how you're going to perform going forward, because it's going to be like this all the way till the end.
Craig Dickinson will be looking for who's over by the heaters today. This is cold, but football-wise, how cold is it today at minus 6 degrees?
Oh, this is great. For a guy that played in some of this weather, I think this is probably on the better side of your quote-unquote cold weather games. I've been in games where it's been minus 28. I remember the Western Final in 2010 in Calgary was probably minus 28. And we were running a play on defense, coming over, standing next to the heaters, and then running on. and it was made worse because of a hero. And I'm not going to say his name. It rhymes with Andy Fantuz. But when we were in the pregame, right, we got off the bus, and it was freezing. And a lot of us were like, oh, I'm definitely going long sleeves.
Yeah.
But egos, right? Egos. So Andy goes out. He runs back up the tunnel, comes into the locker room, and goes, I'm going sleeve, no sleeves, boys. As soon as he said that, everybody started looking at themselves, well, if Andy and the wide receiver group are not wearing sleeves, we're definitely not wearing sleeves. So we had to get out there, man, and tough it out. So this right here, this is nice. The weather's always going to be something to deal with when you're playing in the West,
yeah.
Right? It gets colder earlier. I would anticipate it being cold, this cold in the Grey Cup, so this is a good sort of prep run, if you will. But when you start practicing outside in the on game day, it doesn't matter. The game day is the fun part. So right now, this is what we would call football weather for a lot of the big boys down there.
Well, and it almost eludes me at times, but this is getting on the middle of November, right?
We've gotten lucky, for the middle of November,
I love this.
Yeah, we've gotten lucky.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've gotten lucky because there's been times where there's been a lot more snow and a lot worse weather in November here in the Queen City. So, again, you're looking to the opponent and the opponent's coming in, and they've probably been practicing in some cold weather as well, so I don't think it's a factor.
Current conditions, -6 degrees here in Regina. Wind from the northwest at 33 kilometers per hour. We don't really see it affecting the flags down at field level. Outside the stadium, very noticeable, but here, cut into the bowl, it doesn't seem to be a problem. Wind chill, it feels like minus 15. The weather conditions brought to you by Go Grain, the new app that lets farmers book and track grain trucking right from their phone. Download today at gograin.ca. 14 minutes to kick off between the Riders and Elks for Salford Group, Golden West Trailers and Equipment, SGI Take Care Out There, and Dos Locos Strawberry Lime Tequila Seltzer. Next up, some fun facts about AC Leonard and Luke on what the defense has to play for today. That's as we continue in the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network.
Stand up, get loud, bleed green. Kickoff is just minutes away. This is Rider Nation pregame on the home of the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Hey Rider Nation, I'm Sean Kleisinger. It's time for Did You Know? Did you know Riders defensive end A.C. Leonard is one sack away from a personal season high? In 2019, Leonard had 9 sacks in 17 games played. And in 2021, Leonard already has 9 sacks in just 9 games played. Also with 1 sack tonight, A.C. would join line mate Jonathan Woodard in the double digits. Woodard enters the week in the league lead with 10. Did you know? Brought to you by Gowan Canada. Apply Avidex Microactive this fall to control early spring wild oat pressure, including Group 1 and 2 resistant biotypes.
Great stats from Sean Kleisinger there. And then you reflect at times when there were people like me who were saying there was going to be a problem that they didn't re-sign Charleston Hughes. An incredible job by this defense tonight, and those defensive ends now both approaching double-digit sacks on the season. We're about 11 minutes away from kickoff with the Riders and Elks, and Luke Mullender as the Elks take the field and the chorus of boos wash down over their white jerseys. You said a couple segments ago the defense has a lot to play for tonight. What do you mean by that? What are you looking for?
Yeah, they've got a lot to play for. I'll tell you what, first thing is that a rookie running back named Walter Fletcher got off on them last week for 146 all-purpose yards, DT, right? You had 75 yards along the ground, and you had 66 yards. 56 of that was after the catch. So those are yards after catch. I mean, when you have a guy come in there and do that to you, and you're one of the better defenses in the league, you need to shore that up. And one of the other things that this defense has to play for is they've got to show that they can close out an opponent, right? Edmonton pushed them way too far into the depths of last week, right? This was a team defensively that lost a lot of focus there in that fourth quarter. So again, you've got to come out today and you've got to say, or at least show the league, and more importantly, the man in the mirror, that you are who you think you are. And that is one of the premier defenses in the league, and that's also a defense that's going to get ready to carry the Saskatchewan Roughriders throughout the playoffs. Because that's what they're going to need to do.
What would have happened if Edmonton had recovered that onside kick? I don't really want an answer to that, but I just want you to think about what would have happened, do you believe, had Edmonton recovered that onside kick. Walter Fletcher, who is not a big man. James Wilder is a big running back, the normal running back for the Elks. Walter Fletcher is 5'9", 191, and it wasn't just outside scooting around.
No.
They moved bodies.
He was running in between
interior.
The tackles, DT, and that's why I said in my Mulliner's matchup that the interior defensive tackles with fresh off an injury, Garrett Marino, they need to show up, because Walter Fletcher was hitting that fifth gear in between the tackles. He wasn't running outside. He was going right up the gut.
A big game for the Riders. They can clinch a home playoff game with a win or a tie today. They know it. You know it. Here come your Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders led out of the tunnel by Luchez Purifoy, their safety, a certain all-star. Is he the team's most outstanding player? Well, he was on my ballot. Lucchese Purifoy with his favorite mask from It. That guy is all personality, and he loves playing football, and I think Rider fans love that he plays football for them. Just on the defense, while we have about 90 seconds, Luke, I had to submit my ballot for team awards.
Okay.
I went Lucchese Purifoy, A.C. Leonard.
Okay.
As defensive player of the year and most outstanding player. A.C. Leonard has missed three games. Purifoy's missed one. Crazy? Not crazy.
No,
I can still take
crazy.
That ballot
I think
back.
Lucchese Purifoy's been their best defensive player. And it's hard to argue. I mean, I know a lot of people, including myself, felt that A.C. Leonard did a huge disservice to himself and this team by missing three games and the way he missed them. But facts are facts. Numbers are numbers. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. A.C. Leonard has missed three games and is still number two in the sack race in the Canadian Football League behind his own teammate, Jonathan Woodard. And that is a spectacular accomplishment when you consider it.
A.C. Leonard has been a beast. He sealed up game number one against the Lions with an interception. He forces fumbles. He is doing everything. The Riders are absolutely blessed that he remains here and remains an absolute force for them. We'll go to break for the Capital Auto Mall, Young's Equipment, your Saskatchewan Party Caucus, and the Williston Basin International Airport. We're about 6.5 minutes away from kickoff. The coin toss is next. Luke Mulliner's three keys to the games as well as we prepare for the Riders and Elks. Game 13 on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.